My sister always had fixations. A certain star celebrity, a certain song or food, anything consumable. She would go at it full tilt for a week or year, however long it took to bleed dry all mystery. She said things that made my mother and I look past her and at each other. Once, driving home from a tearjerker, Fawn mused aloud from the back seat. She couldn't understand why everyone went on and on after someone died. She was staring out the window, holding her thumb up to the moon. Didn't they get tired of acting like they were sad? When were you allowed to forget? It was 2003, and everyone was obsessed with suspicious packages. When the first human appendage appeared, an elbow, somebody's elbow, I was almost touched. I could hardly believe something so glamorous could happen to us, here in our town. A postwoman found the limb stuffed inside a duffel bag after nearly running it over on her route. From the raised interstate that cut through Deary, some culprit had flung away a host of body parts while zooming upstate or down, someone who clearly had no idea there was a rotting hamlet beneath the overpass. The easy off-ramp into town had not yet been built, and the world below appeared as coarse, uninhabited woodland, the scant lights of remaining houses no more than reflections in the window glass. Probably, it seemed like an excellent place for body parts to be tossed, if that was the sort of thing you were trying to do. When the second body part appeared, it came for us. As was her way, Fawn took to it and would not let go. It began with the dog. He was given to us as a bribe by an ex-boyfriend our mother spurned. And though it was not the first ex to take the tack of wooing her through her children, this bait was extravagant. Fawn claimed him, and I didn't argue. He came with the name Peanut Butter. Fawn and Peanut Butter went out for a walk together one morning. The dog nosing around the usual detritus swamped under the highway when he locked on to one duct tape bundle. Some sixth sense must have made Fawn think twice. She brought it home under her arm, took the parcel into her room, and shut the door behind her. It might have remained her secret to do with as she pleased, but because our mother was in New York, as she often was, I was left in charge. On this authority, I stormed into Fawn's room to complain about one thing or another, and found her sitting straight-backed at the end of her bed in deep concentration. Her dresser had been cleared but for her prized puppy figurines, and the bundle had been set there, a desk lamp shining over it like an incubator. It was as if she were waiting for it to hatch. Naturally, and out of earshot, I called my best friend Zeke and told him to come right over. I liked my odds when it was 2-1. While I waited for his arrival, I allowed Fawn to expound on her new mystery item and asked a dozen follow-up questions meant to lull her into a state of compliance. She gazed at the taut sheen of plastic. "What should we do with it?" she asked. The bundle looked complete, like a small wet boulder. "What could it be? What are you?" The utility door at the street level heaved open. Zeke always took the stairs up to the loft, 2 at a time in a swift, sneakered bound. Fawn swung around and I held my hands up. "Just wait," I said. "Okay? Don't get all crazy. Don't." Zeke banged at the door, and in the time it took me to flick open the lock, Fawn had wedged a chair under the knob of her door. I could hear her pacing, cursing her error in judgment. She shouted through her barricade that I was a traitor, a liar, that she was going to call our mother.
"Does she have a phone in there?"
Zeke asked. He had ridden over on his bike, and the heat had glazed him pink, ears and all. "You don't have a phone in there," I shouted back to Fawn.
"You can't take it,"
she said. It's mine.
Could be drugs, Zeke said. Maybe it's a big brick of drugs.
It is not drugs, I said. I had anticipated an escalation such as this. For a while, Zeke and I puttered around the kitchen, made snacks with dramatic flourishes, anything to drum up noise and convince Fawn it was safe to emerge. The moment she peeked out, I strong-armed my way in with Zeke on my heels. He snatched the duct tape bundle from her dresser and tossed it into the air like a baseball to test its heft. It was almost too easy.